Grant, you have to sell me on this. I feel like I am out of the zeitgeist of popular culture. I have never...
Billy Zane? Billy Zane's asshole? Billy Zane.
Yeah, exactly. I've never seen the inside of Billy Zane's posterior encavement.
Here's the most interesting thing that I could tell you about it.
Sure.
He wears a wig.
Good to know. Good to
it
know.
It is an anus wig.
Are we talking like a very subtle wig to hide your bald spot? Or are we talking like 17th century French court?
Well, I want to tell you the technical term is called an Angela Merkin.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So that is that the Angela Merkin covers the posterior, where the Merkin covers the front part.
Mm. How about the gherkin?
But it is
where
a
does
powder,
the gherkin
it is,
cover?
Oh, that covers the tip of the cock.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. But it is a powder wig. He, you can choose whatever you want, but he chooses a powder wig.
But he chooses the powdered wig because he's fancy like that. No, I was going to tell you that there has never been, not one time in my life, that the liquid inside of a LaCroix, I was trying to be all fancy, LaCroix has passed my lips. I've never had one.
I've tried several, and I really want to get on board with it because this is funny because I'm holding in my hand a sparkling water, very similar to LaCroix.
Because for the longest time, I thought LaCroix was actually alcoholic, but it's not.
No, it's not. Yeah. But I'm holding this thing called Refresh. It is, I don't know if it's from, is it Ralph's, Albertsons?
Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's Albertsons. So this, okay, I love sparkling water. Love it. Now, the problem is, the fancier it gets, the more I hate it.
Now, so, define fancier. What do you mean by that?
Like more than $1.50.
Oh, I got you.
I'm fine with
7-Eleven sparkling water, but as soon as we get to Trader Joe's sparkling water, get the fuck out.
I'm holding a liter in my hand that costs 67 cents.
Okay.
And if you bought a can of LaCroix, I would bet it's like $2.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's what is a can? I don't even know what a can is anymore. 59 milliliters?
500 milliliters probably, something like that.
No, that's a bottle. It's 591 milliliters.
Oh, you're right. It's like 200 then, yeah, something like that.
Remember that time? We'll get back to LaCroix in a second, but remember that time where those bottles were 600 milliliters and then just one day they were 591?
I do, and I don't know what happened. Like, was there some sort of legislation that was like, you have to tax more if it's over like 592?
No, I'm pretty certain they were just like, you know what? If we make 200 of these, we save one bottle of soda.
Exactly. And we can charge the same amount. And these suckers will still buy it. They'll be mad. But they'll still buy our sugared water that we mark up by 600%.
So I would get these bottles that I'm talking about here, and I love them. So everyone was telling me, LaCroix, LaCroix, LaCroix. I'm like, all right, I'll give it a try. So I bought a whole case.
What flavor did you go with?
I think it was raspberry. I'm a big raspberry sparkling water fan. It could have been any of the other ones, like not grapefruit. It could have been orange. I like orange sparkling water. Lemon lime sparkling water is good.
Mm-hmm.
But I went and bought a whole case of it, right? I could have bought a can to try it. So I put the whole case in the fridge. I was really excited. Everyone says it's the best. The best of the best of the best. And so, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm staring at the fridge, I moved my bed out into the kitchen so I could lie at the foot of my bed with my head on, my chin on my hands. I made a little bridge with my hands and put my chin on there. And I just stared at the fridge. And then once it was like 4 hours long, I jumped in there, grabbed a can, took one sip and said, this is human garbage.
I like that. And so you didn't even try another flavor. You were just like, no, I'm done with this.
I'm done with it. It was horrible.
In fact, I went outside and I stared directly into the eyes of a hipster that I saw walking down the street. And I poured six of the other cans just on the ground, not breaking eye contact.
Well, no, the other six of the cans, by the way, I strapped him into a chair like from Clockwork Orange and pried his eyes open.
Yeah.
And poured three cans in one eye, three cans in the other eye.
Great. Now he's blind.
Actually, he has a superpower.
What is that? Discovering overpriced sugar water?
Well, no, he can touch a can without looking at it and tell the flavor.
Oh, that's cool. That's a pretty decent thing. Welcome, everyone, to whatever this is. This is the podcast where two guys sit down and try and discover whatever this is. My name is Kyle. Mm-hmm. I'm talking with Grant. We'll never have another LaCroix tingly.
I'm still open to trying. My friend says I should try Italian soda.
Oh, okay, sure.
And she works at a coffee shop, like a gourmet coffee shop in San Diego. So it's, you know, it's only a one location place. They bake their own goods, right. You know, they grind their own beans. They have their own supplier, you know, they have like a craft, you know, supplier, right. and they make their own Italian soda. And she said you would probably really like it.
Yeah. Now forgive my ignorance. I don't exactly know what Italian soda is. Now, is that just regular soda, except they put on like a white wife beater over the bottle?
And a chain.
Okay.
They very delicately paste individually chest hair.
Yes, you're just poking out just a little bit from the shirt that they have on.
But that's why it costs so much, because every single hair is pasted on individually.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And actually, I think if you tap a jukebox with it, it actually just starts playing a song.
And if you go, "What are you looking at?" all of a sudden arms pop out and it starts going, "Oh, what's it gonna you?" And if you couldn't tell, I was shaking my arms in the air.
Yeah, it sounded like it. Grant, today is going to be a bit of a different episode. We are joining in this thing that happens in a few other places and on a few other podcasts. But what we're going to do is the 2018 Summer Movie Wager. And the quick synopsis of this, you can kind of see a breakdown of this online. If you Google it, you can actually see exactly how all the point structure works. But essentially what me and Grant are trying to do is guess or predict which movies are going to have the most box office in North America. It's only domestic box office that we're going through from number 1 to number 10. And you get more points if you hit it dead on. You get some lesser points if it's only one off, even less points if you're two off, etc. And you're also given three dark horses. Three dark horses, you can get points if they actually do show up on the top 10, even though you don't think they're going to show up on the top 10 at all. It's a really fun game. I got trounced last year. Like, I got beaten real, real bad. So we're going to see if I can keep up the streak. We'll keep the streak alive. Now, I have a guess, Grant. Actually, is there anything you want to say about that before we move on?
I don't care.
Just like the rest of our audience, I have a feeling I know what we both picked for number one, but maybe you're gonna wow me here. Grant, which movie did you pick for number one? What is gonna have the most box office?
The Peanut Butter Solution.
Great, awesome. The sequel to The Peanut Butter Solution. Me and you are both aligned on this.
No, Infinity War, of course.
Infinity War, that's the one I picked as well. Now, I think this is a time to pause for a second, and we had a little bit of a debate, Grant and I, but I'm going off of the rules of the Slash Film cast here a little bit, because they chose to include Avengers Infinity War, even though technically, if you go by the normal rules of the Summer Movie Wager, you start in the first weekend of May, and they decided to randomly release the Avengers a week earlier than what they had originally planned. So, but we're including it anyways. We're going to include the box office Avengers Infinity War, and that is why I think it is going to be number one, even though we're releasing this after it was technically released. Let's pretend that we made our lists before that happened. So why do you think, though, Grant, why do you think this is going to be the number one movie of the summer?
Well, it's the most anticipated movie of the last 10 years. Once Iron Man came out, a few years later Avengers came out, and then all of a sudden you see Thanos, you know what's coming.
Yeah, we've been building up to this sort of for 10 years, but really for at least the last 6.
But the real big nerds knew it was coming from Iron, even from probably once Nick Fury showed up in Iron Man and mentioned the Avengers, you knew unless Iron Man made $42.
Yeah, right.
You knew they were coming with Infinity War eventually.
And I guess, like, I mean, taking out that, I actually do want to have a conversation. Have you seen Infinity War yet?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Seen it twice.
Oh, I was going to see it twice, and then the second time kind of fell through. Right now, me and Grant are going to talk about Infinity War before moving on with the rest of our list. So if you have not seen it, skip ahead a few minutes, I guess. It might be actually like 10 or so minutes.
Well, when are you going to release this?
Like tonight, probably.
Okay, so it's Friday, we're recording Friday. So I made an official judgment call, because I am the arbiter of all spoiler rules.
Sure.
That for such a major release as this,
yeah,
you get 2 weekends.
To openly discuss
spoilers. Monday is the official day that you can just walk around the streets shouting whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, exactly. I will say, I thought that there was more than usual a lot of news outlets and Twitter accounts that were being pretty loosey-goosey with spoilers, I thought, like day of the release. Thinking that they were being like cute and like, I'm not spoiling anything, but it's like, you kind of are with that headline.
Well, it's like, you know who's not gonna die, you know, and you're like, okay, well, you know, then that person's gonna die, you dumb idiot.
Yeah,
it's like a non-spoil, like a non-admission.
Right, exactly.
Well, it's like, I wasn't the one that killed the egg.
So I want to know your initial thoughts. I mean, you've seen it twice now, but what are you thinking about this movie?
Well, it's really exhausting. The first time I was on adrenaline.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt you. Exhausting in what way? Because I actually found, at least I mean, I had a very busy day. I was at the Comic Expo here in Calgary. I went and saw this movie at 10:30 at night, and even though I was there until like just after like 1 o'clock in the morning. I felt like it kind of zipped by for me the first time.
It zips by, and then all of a sudden it becomes very exhausting.
Oh, I see. I got you. Yeah. Okay.
But then you watch it a second time and you're like, okay, this is exhausting. There was a guy that watched it 5 times in a row, and he's not even a comic book fan. He was just doing it for YouTube.
Okay.
And he reviewed it after everyone, and I'm like, I couldn't imagine that. Like, he's like, I've seen a handful of the Marvel movies. He's like, I'll never see a Thor movie. I'll never see a Captain America movie.
Oh, those are the best. Like, the Captain America ones are the best ones, though.
I know. He's just like, so he's seen, like, out of the 19, he's seen, like, 5. You know, I don't think he saw Age of Ultron, you know. So he's coming into this pretty dark. He said when he watched the first Avengers, he was like, who's that? I don't know. Whatever.
Right.
So that to me sounds exhausting. But the second time I saw it 2 days later. I saw it 3 days later. I saw it first time on Thursday, and then I saw it on Sunday. And it was just – the second time was very exhausting. It did zip by because I was surprised when I walked out of there. I'm like – because I didn't check the runtime before I went in, and normally I do. But I didn't want to be checking my watch.
Right, yeah.
I wanted to just be going like, okay, we know, you know, whatever happens. So it did zip by for the most part. And the fact that it kept cutting around really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of imagine it like 7 movies kind of like super cutted together.
Well, in many ways, it really is. It's telling such a grand story. Like, there's so many different storylines that it's trying to interweave together that I actually give the Russo brothers a lot of credit for keeping, like, the main thrust of the movie pretty well intact for the entire runtime. But you're jumping across, like, to this planet on this universe and then back to Earth and then on the space station and then, like... over to a spaceship, and like it keeps bouncing around all over the place, and yet there's still this through line, because I think that in a very devilish way, or in a very interesting way, the superheroes are really not the protagonists of this film.
No, of course not.
It's Thanos.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a brilliant way to do this and way to structure the movie, that it's Thanos's movie and the rest of the superheroes are kind of the supporting characters.
Yeah.
But initial thoughts then. What did you think of it? What did you like about it? What did you hate about it?
I thought it was really good. There's not much I hate. I don't even think there's anything I hate about it. I thought it was really well done. It was just good. You know, and, you know, I would say it's, you know, I probably enjoyed Black Panther more. I initially enjoyed Ragnarok more, but Ragnarok kind of like loses its luster the longer you get away from it.
Right.
But you know, Civil War and Winter Soldier, I probably would still rank above this.
Yeah, I guess I want to, ask a couple of pointed questions here. Of course, there's the ending that everyone is talking about. But do you think there was any standout performances in the movie? Because I have a couple that I want to point out.
Well, I really, you know, you come back to Thor again, you know, and the last two Thor performances have really taken his character from, you know, there's that guy with a thing, and now lifted him up pretty well. And I really liked, and I don't know how much it was special effects or not, but I really liked Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I mean, those two are interesting that you call out, because I agree. I think that Doctor Strange and Thor, I mean, all the characters I think were handled really, really well. But I think what it really shows, and this is might be my bias, I know that Thor has held his own comic book for like decades, but at least in the movie series and in this universe of films, I just feel that Thor works way better as a supporting character than a lead character. Because, I mean, Chris Hemsworth just knocks it out of the park every single time. I felt emotion for his journey through this film. Mm-hmm. Like, I really felt for him. I understood what he was doing. And when he shows up in that climactic battle, I was like, yeah, Thor's back. That's awesome. That's so cool. And that's sometimes nothing. Like, I don't feel anything like that, at least in the first two Thor films. I didn't feel even remotely close to that. And I think the same thing can be said for Doctor Strange, where his solo film, I felt a little bit not as invested in his journey. And maybe that's partly because it was an origin story, so they had to go through those motions. But I think his actual like personality and his character really shone through a lot more here in this film, especially with his interplays with Tony Stark and himself.
Well, that shows how important his appearance in Thor Ragnarok was, Doctor Strange, because they're like, okay, we don't have to go through growing pains of Doctor Strange because he is now top of his game.
Sure, yeah.
Like, we went from here he is, like, training wheels, all this shit in Doctor Strange number one, keep on trying. And then we show him for 5 minutes in Thor Ragnarok and we go, nope, he's good now. We don't have to do any more training levels. No more leveling up. He's level 99. You know, he's good to go.
And I know, Grant, you're gonna make fun of me for this, and it's totally my bias. I teared up during Peter Parker's final scene.
Of course.
That moment where everyone is starting to disappear and you're realizing, oh, Thanos won. Like he won. He beat the Avengers. Excuse me. And then that realization that Peter, like, Mr. Stark, I don't feel good. Like, just the tremble in his voice. Like, he just knocked it out of the park so much that I was like, oh, man, like, this is my favorite Peter Parker, and you're taking him away from me already.
Yep.
Now, there has been a lot of talk, again, about the ending and how it kind of ends in a very depressing manner. And I'm curious where you think, this is when we kind of put on our thinking caps, and where do you think they go from here?
Okay, well, I've read a couple interviews.
As have I.
And now, I don't know which writer. Was it Marcus?
I think it was Marcus,
if that's his name. I think Mercutio. Tybalt and Mercutio wrote this script.
Right. And then I believe in the second one, they handed it off to Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. So.
Oh, a short, blunt human pyramid. Very nice. Right. Marcus, I think he said that the deaths are real.
Right. Now,
I'm
going to read into that a little bit more, because I think that they can be a little bit wishy-washy in that people who faded into dust.
Also lie.
Well, they could also straight up lie, but I think that they are being very particular with their language, because Kevin Feige said the same thing.
Let's just call him Feige from now on.
Feige, the Feigester. He said the same thing, that the people who are dead are dead, or the people who died are dead, but are the people who went into the little dust, did they actually die? I think that's where they're going to get like the semantics in there. I absolutely think the other people they showed, I think Loki, I think Gamora, there's someone else that they actually killed. I think those people absolutely 100% are dead. The people who fade into dust, we know Black Panther's coming back. We know Peter Parker's coming back.
We know most of the Guardians are coming back.
Most of the Guardians are coming back. So I don't think that they're going to be dead. However, the hope that I have, and this is where like the second part of this, like the next Avengers movie next summer, could really feel cheap, or it could be this triumphant return. I feel that if you're going to disappear so many characters, and they are like legitimately right now, at least in canon, dead, that when they come back, there has to be some reckoning with that. That there has to be some sort of cost that comes with them dying. And that it can't be just like a wave of the hand or a wave of the Infinity Stone, and then they're all just back alive again. That there has to be something.
It's 2.5 hours of Pepper Potts in an accounting visor deciding who should be alive and who should be dead.
Right, yeah. And that's what I'm hoping
that's
for.
That's all it is.
I think it's interesting that they do have the original five Avengers are still alive. So I think that they're really going to lean into that. But yeah, I really hope it's not just like they just come back and nothing is ever told about that again. I want it to be very similar to Tony Stark's sacrifice in the first Avengers film and how that really impacted him over like the next five times he shows up in the series. He's always recalling that kind of like PTSD he has of getting to the point where like I'm sacrificing myself. I'm going to kill myself to save the world.
Well, and Thanos is talking about saving the universe, mm-hmm. but there are multiple universes. So that could come into play as well. Who knows?
I don't know if that's ever been floated in the actual Marvel Cinematic Universe. Well, that would be fascinating if they started to go down that road for sure.
Well, let me dig up Stephen Hawking and ask him if there are multiple universes. I think he'll agree with me.
Well, I'm sure yeah, he will.
Yes, Grant, there are multiple universes. Well, I think if he's dead, I think we'll give him back his earthly body. I can't do a British accent that well.
You can't do a Cockney accent? He's from Cockney, isn't he?
I have no idea.
cool, yeah, blimey.
Like, but I think there's an aspect there that would be interesting, you know. Now the reason why Thanos is destroying half the people in the universe is because there isn't enough
resources. Apparently.
Resources. Now my friend Dylan said, "Well, why doesn't he use the Infinity Gauntlet to make more resources?"
Right.
And I'm like, that's very logical.
That's but a valid what you're concern.
What you're forgetting is he's a psychopath.
Well, there's that, but I guess you could also, if you really wanted to nerd out about this, there is the law of thermodynamics. You can't just make more resources out of nothing.
It's going to have to come from somewhere. Yeah, if you have the Infinity Gauntlet, you can do whatever you want.
True enough, yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, I thought of the same things. Like, couldn't you just make more resources then, really, at the end of the day?
Yeah, but being a psychopath, the first thing he thought of was, well, obviously, we should just kill half the people.
Right. Like, the interesting thing about Thanos is that, like, I can understand, like, his thought process and, like, how he got to where he was. And it does seem rational, but he is absolutely like a psychopath, like you said. So it's like he's going off far off the deep end in that point.
Yeah.
Did you see it opening night?
I saw it the Thursday. So the preview.
The real opening. Well, you had the hardcores come out there then. Was there any interesting audience reactions for you?
Silence.
When?
At the end.
Yeah, at the end. Okay.
When a new person appeared on screen,
yeah,
there was the early 1990s sitcom TGIF Urkel slides in the door.
Right.
Woo!
There was a cheer when Captain America showed up for sure in my theater. Like was like he had the biggest reaction.
Well,
by
that
far.
That was the worst part. Like they shouldn't have included that in the trailer because when I saw that fight happening, I'm like, Captain is showing up. So that was the in the trailer there was two worst conclusions. One, the smashing of the moon, mm-hmm. and two, Captain America.
However, what I will say is kind of brilliant is that they included scenes in the trailer that absolutely did not happen in the movie. Specifically, they have scenes with Hulk fighting, which means that they actually took the time. Somebody had to go and create the Hulk, like CGI the Hulk into like 15 seconds of footage in a trailer for scenes that never actually happened.
Do you think the Hulk has ED?
Oh, well, maybe. Could be. The other thing I loved about the trailer...
There was somebody that I heard said that the Hulk is just tired.
Well, like, I think he's afraid.
I was like the Hulk for 2 years. Yeah. I'm going to take a break.
Well, I think he deserves it. I mean, but he did get his ass kicked by Thanos pretty definitively. The other thing I wanted to point out is that there was a lot of conjecture and a lot of Twitter backlash when the poster was released, because it's like, well, why isn't Hawkeye on this poster? And legitimately, people thought that he just wasn't important enough to put on. And the real reason was he wasn't in the movie, like, at all, which is, I think, an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah, my mom was like, what was the worst part of the movie? And I'm like, no Hawkeye.
Yeah. I'm sure he's coming back, though, for the next one.
Well, he's been shown on set. Come on. Of course he's coming
back. As are going to be the Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Well, I clearly, you know, he's what happened, you know, obviously what happened is his family got wiped out from Thanos and he's pissed off.
No, that's actually probably a really great point, Grant.
He's all of a sudden Ronin.
Do you think he is going to be?
Well, but, you know, yeah, of course. Look at his hair.
Well, look at pictures and I don't look at trailers, so I don't know what you're referring to.
Well, his hair is cut into a faux hawk, basically.
Okay.
So, you know, whenever I get really when I used to have long hair.
Yeah. Whenever you got really angry, you just shaved the sides of it and made a faux hawk.
Well, no, I would cut my hair.
Right.
I would do something drastic. I'd go into the bathroom, because I remember when I broke up with my girlfriend, mm-hmm. like the first thing I did was like I walked into the bathroom and just shaved my head. Don't you know, like, haven't you seen all those girl movies?
Girls?
Forget which movie it was I watched recently.
Girl Interrupted? Oh, what are you talking about?
The Trust. Have you been watching the TV show The Trust?
I don't know what that is.
Okay, well, never mind. I'm not going to get into it. But Hilary Swank is in it. Her son was kidnapped, and she got really upset. You know, she thinks she got a phone call from him, and it turns out it was from him, but then a mm-hmm. kidnapper came on. He had escaped for a minute, and then the kidnappers got to him right when he was on the phone with his mom. Mm. And, like, the next scene is her cutting her hair.
Okay.
Or just let's go with the simple one, G.I. Jane.
Yeah, there we go. That makes sense. We should say, too, that when we're recording, I just remembered that the – oh, no, that was yesterday. Today is Friday. Today, the fourth season of Arrested Development was recut and released onto Netflix.
Did you just read my tweet? I tweeted this just before we started getting on here.
No.
I'm like, what the hell is this – Arrested Development remix thing. Yeah, so no, now you have to explain it to me. We'll get to the top 10. This will be a 5.5 hour podcast. Yeah.
No, we'll get to it like right after this.
I need to go get some more 5 hour energy and butt chug them really quick.
Right. Oh my gosh. Two quick things. I still like Avengers Infinity War. I want to see it a second time. I do think this is absolutely like a part one of two. And I also want to say that the after credit sequence was great. I really, really liked it. It's probably the best one in the last seven movies, I'm going to say. So the Redux, what it is that Mitch Hurwitz came out.
My favorite part about the post-credit scene.
Or just interrupt me. That's fine. That's good.
No, I just wanted to say my favorite part of the post-credit scene.
Yeah.
Was I feel like Sam Jackson pushed the button with his middle finger.
Oh, really? Oh, I should take a look at that.
No, he didn't actually do that.
Oh, okay.
Like, in my mind, I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. You know, and he's pushing. Exactly. He's like, "Fuck you! Here comes the boom." Kevin James is coming in.
Right. This also begs the question: if whether Ant-Man and the Wasp is happening simultaneously, or like before or after, or when is that actually happening in the time frame?
Well, you know, you also have to jump in here. It's like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Are people going to disappear in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Probably
What's
not.
Going on there?
No,
What's
it's going not going to. It's going to have no impact on the TV universe of Marvel, which breaks my heart a little bit.
No, it does, because you know what? You know who disappeared?
Who's that?
The Inhumans.
They just disappeared?
All of them.
All right. Well, there you go. So, the Redux, the remastering, whatever they're calling it, Mitch Hurwitz came out here a few days ago and said he's heard the backlash. He understands that people weren't like as into season 4 of Arrested Development because what was it? It was like, whatever, 10 episodes or something like that that were somewhere between 30 to 50 minutes long each.
I think the longest one was 50 minutes. Yeah.
So he says what he did in his off time just to see.
Oh, and by the way, he came out with this on right before Cuatro de Cinco.
Exactly.
Very important note.
And so he released this letter saying, hey, we're working on season 5 right now. It's going to be released on Netflix. But in the meantime, enjoy season 4 again, where as a challenge to myself to see – what I could do in the editing room. He took all that footage and remolded it into the classic style of Arrested Development, where it's not just following one character per episode, which is what they were doing in season four, but still having the classic where people interact and run into each other. And he's making the classic 22 episodes of 22 minutes long.
Now, to me, this shows that season five is coming very soon.
It must be. Yeah. It has to be sometime this year.
Because very soon.
Okay.
They filmed last summer. Season five has been in the can for a long time.
Right, right.
I think this is a brilliant ploy. Because remember, like, Jason Bateman posted that picture, like, in July of old person Bluth's house. I was going to say Jessica Walters' house, but that's just her actress's name.
Right.
But they posted that in like July. Lucille, yeah, they posted that in like July. Huh. So it's in the can.
I just want to make sure that Lucille 2 is safe. I really want to make sure that Liza Minnelli is coming back and getting back in the game.
With the Infinity Gauntlet.
Correct. That would be the crossover to end all crossovers.
Now I can't remember anybody's names. Tony Hale's character?
Yeah, Buster.
Buster just looks at Lucille and says, I don't feel too well.
Oh yeah, that would be amazing.
and he's the only one that disappears.
Yeah.
And his two hook hands just fall to the ground.
Yeah. Do you know if George Senior, now I'm forgetting actors' names.
Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah, is he actually in the new season?
That's why we work well together. I can do actors.
Yeah.
You can do characters. Yeah, he's confirmed the other day. Alia Shakok, maybe Funke, was who I have a huge crush on.
Mm-hmm.
Not maybe, Alia.
Right.
Because I think maybe is a sociopath.
Right, right.
It was confirmed the other day. She was doing an interview. She's on it, or he's on it. You know, I can't imagine. Just imagine how difficult it was because they filmed in July, right?
Yeah.
So they would have had to do some crazy shit to get him out of the series. And then, but because how interwoven everything is, and how, you know, like, how would you even get him out of it? You know, Deadpool X-Force, TJ Miller will not be in it. He's out.
In the X-Force.
In the X-Force, but they couldn't. How do you get him out? Like, they were done with Deadpool 2.
Well, you pull a house of cards with what the F is his name?
Kevin Spacey.
Thank you. Gosh, Jesus. So you pull a Kevin Spacey and you just invite like an old British actor to
Christopher
take over.
Plummer.
Yeah, yeah, just invite Christopher Plummer and take over all those roles. I think Christopher Plummer just does not get enough work. So therefore, you just cast him as TJ Miller in Deadpool. How great would that be, first of all?
Here's the problem I have with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be making light of the sexual harassment problem. Because all of a sudden putting – like recasting, especially with Christopher Plummer – I'm pulling your shit apart here. That's probably what you didn't want. but if because they were talking about it, I read an article today. It's like if they make a joke about Jeffrey Tambor not being recast, like with Ron Howard saying something, that would be horrible. Just let's get through this season, you know, maybe kill him off at the end, and then we'll go forward from there. We can't just end this in one go. Now, that being said, in our little universe, if Christopher Plummer came in to play TJ Miller, that would be amazing.
It would be the best thing ever.
You know what would be even better?
What's that?
Christopher Plummer and a rejuvenated Clark Gable as Siamese twins playing TJ Miller.
Book it. I mean, with their technology now, I'm sure that's just a few years away anyways. Let's get back to our list here, Grant. For number two, we both picked Avengers Infinity War for number one. But for number two, I'm going out on a limb here. I'm picking one of the children's movies. It's Incredibles 2.
Yeah, it's tough.
Now, all the other places I've heard and all the other prognosticators are putting this way lower on the list. But I'm telling you that the wait for this movie has been so much. Like, every nerd wants to go and see Incredibles 2. A, it was 10 years ago, remember?
So remember, 6-year-olds
Exactly. So
now that
well,
are 16,
actually, I think
now
it's
that
actually
are 16
more than
are going to want to see it.
No. Actually, I think I'm wrong. I think it was actually more than 10 years ago. Let me just do this very quickly.
Well, whatever age, like every child.
Yeah. Okay.
That was so, around when it came out is going to want to see it now. Then every adult that took their child to see it. So now you're getting like three or four generations the first one and want to go.
I mean, we're going to be basically arguing the same thing. It's even worse than that. It was 2004. It's 14 years ago. So those 10-year-olds that went and saw it at 10 years old are going to be taking their kids to see it because they're 24 and have three kids now.
Yeah, and their parents that took them when they were 10 are going to want to see it.
I really think because this is like the one movie that everyone said, like, we want a sequel to this. We really want to have a sequel to this, which, I mean, be careful what you wish for.
Well, it's one of the few Pixar movies that set up a sequel.
Yeah, so I really do think that this one is going to do massive box office because of the built-in audience and the kids and going and seeing it probably a second or third time. What did you pick for number two, Grant?
I'm just looking at my list. I have one non-sequel.
Yes, me too.
That's horrible. I picked Jurassic World.
Okay, cool. Why did you pick Jurassic World?
Well, it's one of those things where it's like you have the kids that saw Jurassic World, the first one. They're going to want to see this one.
And the first Jurassic World was the best, like it made the most amount of money, like the 2 or 3 years ago when it was released.
Yeah. So now you have the kids and parents situation going on. And then, of course, you have all the people that saw the original Jurassic Park. They're going to want to see this. So, you know, it's not going to be that good. Let's be honest.
Well, the Jurassic World wasn't all that good. Like, no. I mean, here's the thing is that movie made – it kind of came out of nowhere, Jurassic World did, and just made a ton of cash. But I think it was like the right time and the right amount of nostalgia that people wanted to go and see it. Now, it's going to – I feel like you and I might just be like the exceptions to the rule where I'm really not that excited for a sequel to Jurassic World. And yet when I talk to other people, they're like super stoked on it. So I'm like, oh, okay, maybe it's just me then who just doesn't care that this movie is coming out. But I think there's a huge amount of people that are.
Yeah. Am I going to see it opening weekend? Nope. Am I going to see it second opening weekend? Maybe not.
You'll see. I mean, I will say like I picked Jurassic World as my number three pick. So it's not that far off. From you.
Well, I picked Incredibles as my number three pick.
Okay, so we picked all the same number top three. We just have them in slightly different order.
Now, we talked before we started recording that like the top the 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 could all probably be slotted around differently and it would still make logical sense.
Yeah, I don't think that any of these movies that I have in the top six, I mean, again, I really do think Avengers is going to hit number one, but everything up until like the sixth spot, I'm pretty confident is going to be in that top position. It could be in a different order.
Avengers has the amount of money to make number one now.
Well, not only that, but it has the most amount of time in the summer to do it. Some of these are coming out later on in the summer, so they don't have as much time.
Oh, every year you tell me like release dates, and I every time you say that, I'm like, damn it, I forgot to think about release dates.
Well, you're not going to pick a movie that's coming out like August 24th.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. I always forget about that. I just look at like big summer release lists, and I never look at the release dates ever. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number four for me, Deadpool.
Okay, interesting. So number four I'm picking is Solo, A Star Wars Story. And it's hard because I flipped around Deadpool and Solo because Deadpool is my number five, spoiler alert. I think Deadpool, because it's R-rated, just has that slight disadvantage to it. It's still getting a ton of money.
I remember when you said that last time.
Yeah. Well, Deadpool, I think the first one made somewhere like $150, $170 million, but that was like in November or something like that when the first one was released.
It is tracking at that for opening weekend right now.
Sure. I think Solo is just going to have that slight edge to it. Again, I think Solo is actually going to be an awful movie.
Yeah, it's going to be awful.
Like a really bad movie, but I still think the Star Wars brand has enough to carry it to number four.
You know, I would have been happy just making Solo my dark horse. I'm just not on board with it. And I think other people are tired of it too. You know, but I think the fun thing about Solo is I think there's a car crash factor that, you know, it, I think it's going to have, maybe a reasonably good opening weekend. Yeah. Then it's going to drop. It's going to have a huge percentage drop.
I predict the same thing. I don't think that the majority of people know about the behind the scenes stuff though, Grant, like us film nerds do. And we're like, this is going to be pretty bad. They switched directors like 75 or like 3/4 of the way into the movie. But I don't think most people know that. And they probably don't even care, even if they did know that.
I told everybody that I talked to.
Oh, wow. You're 10 people that you know. Mm. How will that affect the box office?
That's why I have 10 less friends now.
Single tier. I did Solo, and then Deadpool's my number 5. What was your number 5?
Mission Impossible.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Why do you think Mission Impossible?
Well, I think... this is the first direct sequel mm-hmm. for Mission Impossible, which is interesting.
And the first time that they've ever had the same director come back. It's always been a different director.
But I just think Mission Impossible is going to get – Mission Impossible gets the old crowd in there too. Like the old, you know, you're like your grandpa that watched, you know, Peter Kraft. I don't know who the guy was that starred in that show.
I couldn't even tell you. Leonard Nimoy was in it. I know that.
So, you know, you're going to get the older crowd, you're going to get the younger crowd. The problem is you're not going to get a lot of young girls, and you're going to get a lot of teenage boy or girlfriends. You're not going to get a lot of wives because they're done with their shit.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that Mission Impossible has been a solid franchise. I mean, I don't remember. Did you like the last one that came out?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, me too. Like, I really liked it. There's that whole opera sequence that I thought was brilliant.
Well, there's only that one bad one, which had the, like... The John Woo one.
Which is weird to me that the John Woo one is the worst. But I agree.
Well, John Woo and Mission Impossible, like John Woo and Tom Cruise don't mix.
I guess not. But John Woo's a great director, so.
Well, no, it was a beautifully shot movie. But it's you don't want to see Tom Cruise kung fu fighting with a motorcycle.
Right.
Right.
Speak for yourself.
But also it's funny now if you go back and watch Mission Impossible, the first one.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, good, all
right. I guess. It's such a 90s action movie, right? Like, when you look at it, you can tell that was made in the 90s.
And every time I go, Emilio Estevez.
Right, like, what's he doing here?
Oh, and he's dead. Spoiler
okay.
alert.
Spoiler alert for, like, a 20-year-old movie at this point. What was your number 6?
That's Solo.
Oh, that's where you put Solo. Yeah. Okay. This is where I put... Hotel Transylvania 3.
Oh, it's so tough to pick these.
It's hard, but the other two have made this so much money, Grant.
And it's funny because, you know, just before we started recording, I thought about switching Hotel Transylvania with Solo. Mm-hmm. And it'll make you laugh when you find out where I put Hotel Transylvania.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I've probably seen the first Hotel Transylvania. I'm going to say like at least 24 times only because it's what my nephew likes to watch whenever I'm over visiting. So I've seen that movie just so many times.
You got to be like, no, bitch, you're watching Django. You got to get educated. Those are balls.
Yeah, bitch, we're watching Reservoir Dogs. I don't care if you're 3.5. You're going to like it. Okay.
That is an unusual amount of blood.
So it's always hard to tell, but I mean, kids' movies are so hard to guess on, but they usually do fairly well. And the other two have done so much money, ever gotten so much money. So Hotel Transylvania for number 6. You picked Solo for number 6.
Solo,
said,
yeah.
Right? Okay. What was your number 7?
Ant-Man.
Oh, same one for me. So Ant-Man and the Wasp.
And it's funny because we both talked about how 2 through 6 could be interchanged.
Yes.
And now we're like, number 7? We know exactly what's going there.
Exactly, apparently. Which is interesting that it's so much further down than the Avengers. You would think, hey, this movie that's coming out like a month after the Avengers comes out.
Just completely different movies. Completely different movies.
It is. And it always, like the first Ant-Man to me always felt like this weird like diversion in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It felt like a throwback to like a 90s heist movie, which is, there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. But this... Like, the people who are Jones, like, I need more. I want to know what the rest of the story is. I don't think are going to go and see this anyways. And even if they did, they're going to be, I think, sorely disappointed. Yeah, so it's just going to be a different feel, different thing altogether. All right, number 8. What is your number 8 pick?
What's yours?
Mine, this is where I put Mission Impossible.
I put Ocean's 8. So we're almost on the same page. Ocean's 8, Mission Impossible, same movie.
I feel bad now because I don't have Ocean's 8 anywhere on my list.
Well, Ocean's 8's like a weird, it was on my dark horse, then it was up on 8.
Well, the thing about it is,
for me, 8, 9, 10, yeah. and the dark horses, I could have probably fudged around anywhere.
I hate to do it like it's like this segment is probably going to come out and watch this movie as if like everyone who's like a woman is going to come and see Ocean's 8. But I think there is something to be said. Hey, this is counter-programming sort of thing. Because there's always like a comedy, which I don't know if I've actually put on a comedy. Or there's always one of those movies that comes out of nowhere, in quotes, that no one could predict was going to be in the top 10.
Oh, if you want counter-programming, wait for my number 9.
All right. Well, Mission Impossible 6 is my number 8 pick. Yours was Ocean 8 at your 8th pick. What was your number 9?
Mamma Mia.
Son of a bitch. Me too. That's what I put as number 9. This is going to be so great when we're all wrong. I'm glad that you sang it that way because you actually are under contract. You're contractually obligated to actually have to sing it.
There's a lawyer sitting right next to me.
Oh, I know. Joseph. I sent him down there.
Oh, okay. He's looking at me over his horned rim glasses right now.
Yes, very disapproving.
Well, he's like, you were a little pitchy dog.
Yeah. You were like Pierce Brosnan. You're very Pierce Brosnan in that rendition.
Yeah, I actually took an ice bath before I came in here because did you know that the older a James Bond got, the more out of shape they would get.
Right,
so before
yeah.
they would do shirtless scenes, they would take an ice bath.
Does that work?
Yeah. So right. Walk outside when it's like negative 20. You're going to have pecs, man.
I have pecs for days, but thank you. I think this is, yeah, I think this
what
has
does that
to
even
go,
mean for days?
I don't know.
For like, what, 2 days you have pecs and then they're gone?
Yeah,
2 days a year.
Then
they pack
their bags and they go. They're like,
nope. They peck their bags.
No, we're not going to do this. Mamma Mia, I think has to be. I mean, again, the first one made so much money, and I just think people like to go to the movies and have fun. And this is going to be like families and like mothers and daughters and a gay man are going to go to this.
And you know remember when I saw Murder on the Orient Express, did I tell you the story about the grandma that took her 2 grandchildren?
No. Or maybe you did. I just forgotten.
It was really adorable. And she was one of those, like, come on, kids. I know where the theater is. She's like, oh, you got to go to the bathroom? What a small bladder. You know, so she's one of those ornery grandmothers.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know that they love her because they would go to a movie with her. And they probably do it, like, every month. They have a movie night. I'm sure they do. And you know their movie night is going to be Mamma Mia.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not that I really love the first one, but I think it's gonna make some money. Okay.
You know what movie I never saw?
What's that?
Mamma Mia.
Yeah, you're not missing much. Number 10. What is your number 10?
The Rock's Skyscraper.
Okay, but Grant, and I'm gonna steal this joke. How do you know people will not mistake that for a Rampage that is currently out in theaters?
I don't know.
Because it legitimately is the exact same movie, except without a giant crocodile.
And no Molly Ackerman.
True, but it looks like the exact same movie.
Yeah, but it's a different release date.
I know. I just think that audiences are dumb, and I'm counting on them to be like, oh, there's that Rock movie that I already saw two months ago.
You know audiences are so dumb. They're going to think The Jungle Cruise is a sequel to Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Well, true enough.
You know that's going to happen.
Listen, I put enough faith into audiences to know that they are going to have, as the number 10 movie this summer, The Meg.
Oh, I didn't even have that on my list anywhere.
I know. This is probably where I like blow the entire list that I totally guess wrong. But I think there's going to be some sort of like, you pick the skyscraper, like the end of the world movie, like disaster film. And my pick for that was The Meg instead, where it's like the Megalodon is coming. It's basically like Sharknado, but actually released into theaters.
Well, it's you know, The Meg is a real – I think it's going to be – they're going to have it tracking for like a number. You know, because they had Sharknado tracking for something like 50 million, you know, views.
Right.
And it ended up getting like two.
Right.
But Twitter was talking about the whole movie. So people were basically live tweeting a movie they weren't watching, which I find hilarious. So, but The Meg is not a bad choice. I think The Meg and The Skyscraper are kind of
similar choices. It just depends on which one people actually go and see. So I'm interested. What do you think Dark Horses?
I do appreciate Jason Statham a lot.
Okay.
Now, the problem I have with Jason Statham is I want him to do more comedies.
I agree. He's so good.
He's funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, what can I say? Okay, my Dark Horses, you just want me to read all three?
Yeah, just do all three.
Okay, remember I said I almost switched Solo and Hotel Transylvania?
Right, right.
Well, Hotel Transylvania, The Equalizer, and Purge.
Yeah, I'm so curious to see Purge. The Purge movies have done so well. All of them have done really well at the box office. I just don't know if they're enough to get into the top 10 area.
I know, but they always make almost or just enough, because they were in the top 10 once or twice. So it's like they're like 9, 10, 11 range.
Yeah. So we're aligned on one of them, because Equalizer 2 is when I put him to my Dark Horses.
I loved Equalizer, the first one. Loved it.
I didn't see it, but I never bet against Denzel. I was actually close to putting the Equalizer into the top 10, actually, somewhere, but didn't at the end of the day. The other one, this is a long shot, which is Christopher Robin, even though I think that trailer looks really creepy and weird.
I would like to say that I saw a movie the other day. I can't remember what it was, but I saw Denzel Washington's penis.
Oh. I think that was in the trailer for Christopher Robin, actually. And then finally, Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, another one that I'm going to go see right away, but I don't think it's going to do it.
I don't think so either. But I mean, it could prove again that if you market a movie towards a demographic that usually does not get movies made for them, that perhaps there will be just a bunch of interest and box office will follow. We'll see. Okay, those are our top 10 lists. So let's just go through them one more time, just for the people keeping score at home. So my top 10 were Avengers Infinity War, Incredibles 2, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, Solo, A Star Wars Story, Deadpool 2, Hotel Transylvania 3, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Mission Impossible 6 Fallout, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, and then The Meg at number 10. Dark Horses is Crazy Rich Asians, Christopher Robin, and Equalizer 2.
My number one was National Treasure 3.
Correct, yes, yeah.
Jurassic World, Incredibles, Deadpool, National Treasure 4. They were filmed back-to-back. It was actually Mission Impossible. And then Solo, Ant-Man, Ocean's 8, Mamma Mia, Skyscraper, Equalizer, Purge, and Hotel Transylvania. Those last three are my dark horses.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for doing this thing. We have to come up then with punishments. So...
Oh, what? Shit, I haven't thought about this at all.
Well, so let's think about this. Let's look at...
I have a list of movies that I just want to make you watch.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. Let's do this. This wouldn't be the worst one, but just because you already said that you didn't see it, if I win, Grant has to watch Mamma Mia.
Okay. This is going
to
be good.
Grant wins. I have to watch.
In honor of Thor surviving Infinity War, you have to watch God Is Not Dead.
What is that one again?
That's where Hercules Legendary Journeys is a professor who challenges his students to convince him that God still exists.
Okay. Is this a recent film?
Like 5 years ago. There's been four of them already now.
Jeez Louise. Okay. All right. Well, I'm down for that. We'll get that done.
Yep.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Hopefully, you can construct your own lists and play along at home. I know that a friend of the show, Blake, made up a spreadsheet for us last year. Maybe he'd be so kind as to do that again. Don't know exactly how that works. But hopefully he can do that. If you want to get in contact with us, whateverpod@gmail.com, if you want to send in comments or questions. You can also follow us on Twitter @whateverpod. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/whateverpod. And then my own personal Twitter is I'm @TheKyleMarshall. That's Marshall with two L's. Grant, what's your Twitter?
Twitter.com/FedjiMans, FEJIMANZ, or Z, depending upon what country you're in. God is not dead. I'm just typing that into my document.
I am also going to tweet out right now from the Whatever Pod Twitter exactly what my setup looks like here right now, because I am in a hotel in Edmonton, Alberta, because I traveled here for a Pod Summit, which is tomorrow. So I had to bring up my whole gear with me.
Yeah. You know, have you watched Brockmire yet?
Not a single episode. No.
You need to watch it. It is probably my favorite TV show. It's like Brockmire, BoJack Horseman, and Rick and Morty. Interesting. If you watch those three shows, very very close thematically.
But everything is depressing.
Self-destructive people. Very funny. Very depressing. Very real. Yeah. Bigger than life characters that actually are grounded.
Interesting.
Brockmire speaks like this. Hi, I'm Jim Brockmire. Today, it's at the Big A, it's 98 degrees, and first pitch is going to come in 5 minutes. Oh, nice. So he's a sportscaster.
Oh, I think we talked about this too. I mean, I think...
I've talked about it a lot. That's why I keep asking you if you've watched it. I think last time we recorded, I asked you if you've watched it.
Talking about Hank Azaria, I think next episode we should maybe delve into a little bit about the Apu controversy on The Simpsons.
Yep.
Whatever. I don't care.
Are we going to remember? That was my thought. I was like, are we going to remember?
Oh, no. Not at all. We have no follow through.
If I was on top of things, I'd grab the document up right now, but I just set my phone down, and
that's
it is
way too much work.
It is very far away.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk later.
Oh man, I gotta go pee really bad.